It's kind of a combination of ordinances. There's not one that specifically says game day housing is not permitted in residential areas. It's more of kind of piecing things together. This hadn't been something that had been brought to our attention for a while. And so whenever these things started happening, we pieced together. First of all, we have the no more than four unrelated in a home in single family residential. That's been an ordinance for quite some time. We have that in place because, you know, it is College Station, so there's a lot of rental properties with students, and the limit that we have is four, no more than four unrelated. And so piecing that with game day housing is totally separate from just rental properties. Whenever there's a group of students living there, or, you know, a couple for a semester, a year, you know, however long. Game day housing is something that's more of a short term. And because of that, the nature of it, we consider that to be a hotel use. And hotels are permitted in commercial zonings. So single family residential obviously is not a commercial zoning. And so that's where we get at why it's not permitted in the neighborhood. And so we had been getting numerous phone calls about people asking if they could do this, and we would have to explain why they couldn't. If it was something like a bed and breakfast, of course that would be permitted as long as they comply with the ordinance. As a home occupation, with a bed and breakfast, the homeowner must reside in the house and be there whenever the guests are there. And, you know, again, the no more than four unrelated. And so if they comply with that, in addition to registering with the state as a business and registering on our website with the hotel occupancy tax, then everything is fine. The problem with the game day houses that we were predominantly focusing on for this blog is that a lot of the people that are doing this just are not aware of our ordinances and restrictions. And so it was written in a way to kind of explain where we get at why it's not something that's permitted through the ordinance and what can be done to remedy that.
So can a bed and breakfast be located in any residential zone in College Station?
Yeah, they can be. So there's a few that are in the Southside area neighborhood, and as long as they operate underneath the requirements that are set forth in the ordinance, then it's fine. And that we know about the ones that are operating legally. And so that's not something that we would say, oh, no, I mean, we have bed and breakfasts and, you know, they're businesses in the community. And again, as long as they're complying with the ordinance, then that's fine.
How many have registered?
That I do not know. But we know that there's a lot more game day houses than we were aware of. With the bed and breakfast, there are a handful that we're aware of that are operating.
Which then leads to the next question, how do you enforce this?
So that has been a big discussion because, you know, we have limited staff for code enforcement that can go out and enforce the regulations. And so what we think right now as the best solution is if there's a neighbor that has, you know, an issue, they're right next to a property that's being operated as a game day rental. And let's say, just for example, they have six people that are staying there for the weekend, and you know, so they're parked on the street, the neighbor can't get to their driveway, they're loud, they can't sleep. So they'll contact us and tell us, hey, I think that the property next door to me is operating as a game day rental, can y'all do something? And so it would be based on kind of a reactive complaint basis that, once they tell us what's going on, then we can have a code enforcement officer go and explain, you know, these are the ordinance and, you know, this is why it's not permitted. And then we've recently signed a contract with a business called Muni Services, which the benefit they provide is that they go to businesses, predominantly hotels and motels, and, you know, look back and make sure that, you know, taxes have been paid. But if they are notified of a property that's being operated as game day rental and hasn't registered, they have the Discovery Recovery Program, and they can go and talk with them and help them get registered and collect the taxes. But that's through a third party, so questions for them would have to be directed to Muni Services. But that is something that we just signed a contract with them for some assistance.
Will code enforcement be staffed on game day weekends?
That I am not sure of. It would be something that, you know, the offices aren't open on the weekend, and so if they would contact us and just let us know, then during working hours we could go out to the property and check it out, see what's going on, and talk with the property owner.
This can be done retroactively?
It can be, yes. That's what right now, you know, because this is so new, we're kind of learning how we're going to enforce this. And so if it's something that someone gives us a call on Monday and they say, hey, you know, the past weekend this happened, the weekend before it happened, can y'all do something about it? Then yes, it could be something that, you know, it happened in the past and we can go talk with them and just let them know, hey, this isn't permitted by our ordinance.
Is this something that if there's a neighbor who wants to notify the city, should they be taking pictures of the vehicles outside
Yeah.
their neighbor's property and
Mm-hmm.
collecting other information then?
Definitely. Any information that would help us would be much appreciated. So, yes, if they would like to take pictures or just some sort of documentation, that would be great.
Any idea on quantifying the number of calls that have come in asking about this?
No, it's kind of been going on throughout the summer, and we didn't really notice it so much last football season, not semester, but this summer, and I think it's more of people realizing that, you know, the hotel's been booked up. Where are these people going to stay? They need somewhere to go. So they've been calling us this summer asking if it's something they can do. We don't know how many there are. It's something that's so new that's been brought to our attention, and we have noticed that there are websites that are advertising these properties, and but we don't really know how big it's going to get. And so the purpose of the blog was to inform everybody of, you know, if you're going to do these things, it's fine as long as you just comply with the ordinances that we have set out.
Any attempt by your city employees, as you come upon websites and you also come upon through how even just word of mouth of other game day rentals, of notifying these people ahead of time?
Mm-hmm. Again, you know, because we have a limited staff, we just don't see it as being possible to find everything and go out to every site. So it would have to be based on a complaint. Someone contacting us and letting us know.
The blog also talks about what other college cities do, uh-huh. if you want to summarize how College Station compares.
Yeah, I talked with a bunch of schools in the South, SEC, to see how their planning departments handled game day housing and if they had any regulations that were similar to ours or different. Tuscaloosa actually found out that they had a lot of game day rentals. They found out online, and it seems as though they handle it in a way that we would, that it would be based on just if complaints come in or they're notified of a specific property, that they would go and talk with them and let them know, you know, this isn't permitted. Oxford, I think is really interesting. Whenever I picture these cities, I just imagine them to be huge, a lot larger than College Station, which they're definitely not. Oxford is a town of about 20,000 people, and so they don't have all that many hotels, and so without having, you know, that area for visitors to stay, they said that about 20-30% of their homes are rented out on the weekends, and they don't have the manpower to go to every one of them. So again, it's a complaint basis, just going, you know, to each home if they hear about it. But there are Baton Rouge, for example, they have more concentrated areas of rentals. Because College Station is, you know, just the nature of our town, we have rentals everywhere in all neighborhoods. But Baton Rouge, again, because they're a larger town, and I guess that they're older in a way, they have more single family specific neighborhoods versus, you know, it's, oh, that's the rental neighborhood. And so they don't really hear about the problem with game day rentals because it's predominantly concentrated in a rental neighborhood. But Gainesville, the state of Florida, recently passed a law to where the municipalities cannot regulate short-term rentals, and so Gainesville can't do anything about it. So it was interesting to find out that there are a lot of different ways that it can be handled across, you know, southern U.S., specifically with the SEC towns, that they either handle it the same way that we do, you know, they see it as a hotel use, hotel motel, or, you know, they have a state law that restricts them from doing anything about it.
And apparently in Texas, each city has the flexibility to, you know, have its own regulations then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. As with any town, here, you know, it's how you define a dwelling unit. And so in some cases, so if it says some Tuscaloosa, for example, their definition of a dwelling unit is, you know, describing basically single family, duplex, multifamily dwelling units that do not include hotels and motels. And so they actually revised their definition so that it was kind of, that's the one place that you could quickly look. And then here, you know, we have our zoning districts that have been created with their specific uses that are permitted. And so single family just does not permit hotel uses. And that's what we would classify game day housing as being. And so with our ordinance, you know, that's how it's defined. And but it is city by city. And, you know, if there is a town that chose to allow that in their zoning, that would just be something that is listed in their code. And but yeah, it's definitely something that could be altered anywhere.
And then one more thing from your blog, and that's under your last section here. The final consideration doesn't have anything to do with the zoning, but it does have to do with the purpose of the structure and something else for homeowners to consider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, the something to consider with homeowners insurance. You know, it's to cover you and your family, whoever's living there permanently. If the home is used as, if you're not there, whenever there's renters there, then it's not really a residence anymore. It's more of a business. And so in the event that something happens, someone gets hurt or, you know, there's a fire, your insurance may not cover that because it's not being used as just a residential use anymore. So that is definitely something that homeowners should keep in mind, because, you know, it'd be awful for something to happen and not be able to collect insurance if needed.
And then wrapping up with an invitation, if a homeowner has a question about this, how do they go about getting some answers?
Yeah, if anybody has any questions, contact me. My name is Morgan Hester, and my email address is mhester@cstx.gov. And anybody can email me whenever they have a question, and I will get to it and fill you in on anything that you're curious about, or you know, direct you where you need to go to register your home.